FHR's Playmakers. Brought to you by our good friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Welcome, everybody. We're back. Your host, James J., here behind the mic. And just me and you today. Just you and I today. Call up 424-2600. Bring us your sports thoughts and feelings. We want to hear from you. Otherwise, we, of course, will get in some local coverage. We'll get into high school football action. Touch on that. Some other high school stuff that we want to touch on as well. Interesting news coming out of the NBA. The Pro Football Hall of Fame announced their nominees for the 2023 list. Got some interesting news about Albert Pujols that happened over the weekend. But actually have a little bit of breaking news to get to first up. And this just came across on the Associated Press. Seven-time NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson is retiring from full-time racing and will turn his focus towards spending time with family. He figures his future schedule will include no more than 10 bucket list events, but the 47-year-old had no idea Monday that what the schedule will look like. Of course, one of the more popular names in NASCAR history. I am not a NASCAR follower that deeply, but even I know who Jimmy Johnson is. So pretty big news there. You want to talk about that? You want to talk NASCAR? Feel free to call up and learn me something about it. That's all right. And then this broke in as well. The NFL is replacing the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl is going to be replaced with the Pro Bowl Games, featuring week-long skills competitions flag football game. The new event will replace the full contact showcase started in 1951. It will be renamed the Pro Bowl Games and will feature AFC and NFC players showcasing their football and non-football skills and challenges over several days. The 2023 Games will be held in Las Vegas, and the flag football game will be at Alliance Stadium on February 5th. This is a long time coming. When I was a kid, there were athletes that you just kind of knew were not going to probably show up at the Pro Bowl. But back then, people still did. It was still an honor to be to the Pro Bowl. And, not for nothing, a lot of these athletes got to go to Hawaii. And that was a big deal back then, getting to go to Hawaii and everything. Even in the, mid-80s, late-80s, early 90s. And, then, of course, prices change. Money goes up. And NFL contracts go up, and with that, hey, all of a sudden, if I want to go to Hawaii, I can do that with my family anytime I want. I got a paycheck. I can get there, and I don't really need to go to the Pro Bowl. And then, of course, certainly the rise of CTE and what we understand about brain trauma, the different things that we have learned of what can happen to the human body. I think we already kind of knew some of this stuff, but we're a little bit more blasé with it back in the day. Now we are much more in tune with it. So this was a long time coming, and I don't know. I want to know what you guys think of this. I'm really curious because I've got no real strong feeling one way or the other about it. I will say that I'm kind of glad that they didn't just scrap the whole thing and get rid of it. I am very glad that they didn't do that. But is this the best they could come up with? Is this the best idea? Is this something that will interest you? So just as curious as I am of what you think of it, will you watch? Would you watch this? We see the ratings for the NFL. A preseason football game will pull higher ratings than literally anything else that is on the TV at that time. You can Google this yourself, everybody. This isn't something that I'm coveting knowledge here or anything. Every year they release the rating, entertainment ratings. And every year, the top 20, it's filled with football games. Now, every once in a while, you got an Oscars or a presidential speech or something like that in there. But football is king. And it people come to watch it. Now, here's the catch, though. When you're talking about a preseason football game, you've had months where your diehard football fan is begging for anything, any football, even if it's a bunch of players that aren't going to make the team, or it's not the most competitive game, or it's an exhibition game. We're going to watch. We're going to take it in. This is taking place at the end of the season when you've had your fill of football. And we've noticed that the ratings for the Pro Bowl have been down almost every year for the last 20-some years. And the health concerns. The fact that many athletes will not even go to the event anymore. But will you? That's what I'm curious about. I'm not so curious about as if athletes will show up for this or not. I think that's always going to be here or there. Would you watch this? Let's go ahead and take some calls. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Good morning, James. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing, man?
Oh, not too bad. I guess I have to say, quite tongue-in-cheek, congratulations on your Bears victory. They got their second win of the year. They only going to have four more wins maybe for the year. So, I mean, there we go. You know.
I was just going to say, man, I mean, it's not like you're going to have to do this very often this year. In all seriousness, I actually really did enjoy that game. I went into it thinking, I want them to win, obviously, but I'd like to think semi-intelligent fan. I understand my team. I understand what we're going to do this season and the players we have and all that. But I got into it and I was like, you know what I liked about it? It wasn't just, and I honestly, I would say this, no matter who the teams were playing, I just liked seeing kind of an old school football game, like 200 plus rushing yards. That was cool.
Yeah, both teams ran the ball really well. And it just, it was surprising. I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch the whole game. I guess the one I'm more disappointed is on the Detroit game.
Yeah.
They did the clock management and they, but I just, like I said, I got to make you feel even a little better for on a Monday.
I appreciate
start
that.
Week off a little bit better, but
well, I'll flip that right back to you, sir, because I got to catch a lot of the game yesterday, the Packer-Tampa Bay game. And I know people are going to, you know, everybody's going to have this or that they can pick apart or anything. You won the game convincingly. That's what matters. All you can do is work with what you got that shows up. And you can you can say this about Tampa Bay or that about Tampa Bay. At the end of the day, you won the game convincingly. And that's all you can do.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just, I mean, I'm going to ask you a little bit on this because I know you've been in Wisconsin for, you know, a lot of years, you're still kind of an outsider when it comes to your sports team.
Mm-hmm.
Does this team, like between Wisconsin and the Packers, they're so vanilla?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Packers, and they were doing everything they can, and they were moving up and down the field for the pack. All of a sudden, you know, Jones fumbles that football there in the end zone. There's momentum changes. But it seems like after that, the Packers could not really move the ball. It's just like, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers knew what they were doing because Green Bay, LaFleur, that's one thing he can't do, or even the offensive coordinator and even the defense, they can't change things quick on the fly like most teams can because they're so stubborn. And then Paul Christ is the same way at Wisconsin. He's so stubborn in his ways, he doesn't want to change that. I mean, it just, to me, that's what it seems like to me as a true Badger fan and Wisconsin fan.
Yeah, and as somebody, I mean, I really do root for the Badgers. I love them, but as an out, you know, just playing on what you were saying there, I am an outsider and looking at it from a third person perspective, kind of. I could see so much of what you're saying there, and I hear you, especially with the Badgers. That's something it's been an issue with the Badgers almost as long as it's been an issue with the Bears. it feels like there's something here in the Midwest that maybe we should look into. I don't know, but
it's in the water. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, but to me, the thing that really becomes the catch is what you said there about the adjustments. I'm okay with having a vanilla playbook if at halftime you realize, okay, this isn't working, let's flip it up, your guy. Let's flip the script. Let's do something different, or let's counter what they're doing here. We all know the best coaches in history, no matter what the sport, especially in football, halftime adjustments. All the greats can do this. Like you said, we saw Tampa Bay adjust, and they kind of shut down the offense. So then how do you counter that as an offense? And same thing on defense. If they figure you out on defense, well, then what are you going to do to adjust to that? The concerns there, are evident. At the same time, I you know, as we keep noticing, it's 3 weeks in, it's a month in, it's you know, a short amount of time. There is a lot of time to correct these things, but focusing on the Badger part of things, it's it's more than disappointing. It's consistent. And I think that's the part that bugs you the most as a Badger fan. Just all my friends are Badger fans. They're diehard. They're probably more diehard about the Badgers than any other team. And when I hear them talk about it, or when I'm venting about their hockey team or something like that, it always seems to come back to, yeah, just the same old, same old. It's just kind of that vanilla offense that nobody really wins with that. You know, you might win a couple of games here or there, but you're not going to win a Big Ten championship. You're not going to beat Ohio State, and you're definitely not going to get into the college football playoff with a vanilla playbook.
Right. Yeah, and you know, and that's, and, you know, we thought when they actually signed Mertz, to Wisconsin, you know, he's a five-star quarterback, one of the top recruits in the country. We thought we were going to have our quarterback. You know, finally, we're not going to be running the ball all the time. But to me, it seems to that Paul Chryst never changed anything.
Yeah.
We're going to have the big, beefy guys up front, and we're just going to push our way by running the football. And, I mean, Alvarez did it when he was a coach, but he actually had some quarterbacks that could have could manage the game better. Before Russell Wilson, I mean, we really didn't have – you know, a great quarterback, but they could manage the games, you know, and they could actually do the a little bit of mixture. You know, granted, they still probably ran the ball 80% of the time, but you had those games that they could throw maybe 40% of the time.
It sure did seem like that year with Russell Wilson, because I saw every game that year, and it sure did seem like that was a different offense. It did seem that they opened it up a bit more on that with him. And I think that's a great point to bring up, because, you know, other schools do this too, but they have the kind of like the Nebraska thing where, well, we don't get the greatest recruits. We kind of got to run this kind of offense, or an Army or a Navy or something like that. Wisconsin gets talent. I'm not saying they get five stars every year, but as we, you know, whether it's a Russell Wilson or it's a any, I can name 1,000 running backs that have come there to play, along with offensive linemen and now linebackers that have been coming there over the last 10 years. They get talented kids. It's not as if you couldn't, you know, be a more imaginative with a playbook.
Yeah, it's you know, hey, I mean, yeah, we're consistent. I mean, I don't think we've missed the year without. I mean, that I think because of how the selection committee does the bowl games. Mm. You know, we've been to a bowl game. I mean, we don't think we've missed one in I don't know how many years. It's just because of how the team gets the following and all that, but yeah, we sure it would be nice to be able to get back to where we're kind of the more consistent where we're on the New Year's bowl list, you know.
Yeah,
and it just I don't know. So, we kind of knew it going into that Ohio State game. Wisconsin was going to get pushed around. That offensive line wasn't the best, but it just shows how much better Ohio State is to everybody else, or even to Wisconsin.
It gets really old quick as a fan. I mean, I was talking about this last week with the Chicago Green Bay series, where I've been watching this literally my whole life, and my whole life has pretty much been what that last game was. You know, Green Bay dominates the game. Chicago barely shows up. Maybe they have a couple of trick plays that do okay, but that's about it. And end of story. It's the same offense I saw when I was 5-6 years old, being a little kid. It's literally no different. It gets frustrating as a fan base. And it's this thing where we have this unquestionable loyalty to our teams, where we're going to follow and we're going to support them and all this. And that becomes kind of like a crux for us too, because by doing that, we're kind of, you know, supporting them doing these things. But what do you do as a fan? I mean, you're not going to stop watching the games necessarily. I don't think that I'm not asking that, but it does give you this. It's more of a rhetorical question. Like, what do you do in these situations? Because especially with a University of Wisconsin, do you think Coach Chryst's job is in danger, or his offensive coordinator? I mean, I don't think they are. I don't think that he's done anything necessarily in his career to say that even if he lost every game going forward, that he would be on the hot seat even. I'm not sure. In college, it's become a little more of a hotter seat than, you know, it used to be back in the day. But even still, there's these universities like a Wisconsin, like other schools, that have loyalty to their coach, have loyalty to a player, to you know, these things.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to agree with you on that one. It's you don't see it's like with compared to pro football, you don't see it. You know, if you don't produce, you're gone.
Yeah.
Because just because of the turnover rate in college football, I think that's a lot different, because obviously one year you might be senior strong, and then you know that the following year you're going to be a little strong. You know, you're going to be rebuilding again. But it's just sometimes these coaches are. I mean, if you see it in all sports though too.
Oh,
they
yeah.
get so stubborn and they just do not want to change nothing. He goes, this is the way I'm going. I guess the best one you can almost look at about changing things, but then now he's changed it, but he doesn't want to go away from it, is counsel with the Brewers and how he brought in the analytics more into the game on, with Milwaukee. But now it's like to the point, it's like, oh, hey, you brought it this far. Let's kind of go back a little bit and change, and change things up. And
well, it's an interesting thing to bring up baseball too, because baseball may have the hottest. Hockey's got the hottest axe. Hockey, you might get cut. You might get fired during the warmups stuff. So, baseball is probably next at that. But outside of course, my team, because Tony La Russa and Jerry Reinsdorf are bunk buddies. but other than that, usually in baseball, same type of thing. So when you bring up like a council doing that. I think that I don't know what's in his head or heart, obviously, but I imagine that some of that was self-preservation, too, of wanting to keep the job. And thankfully, they did, I think, because I think he's a great manager. I don't think that you could ask for much more out of a manager than guys like him.
Well, no, I mean, but it'd be nice to see maybe him play, go back a little bit old school at times, and they probably could have won a few more games.
Sure.
If they would have, done that, And, I mean, you see it with all, like I said, it's all team, all coaches. I mean, I don't think there's one coach out there that's going to not say, okay, I'm not going to do it my way anymore,
Yeah.
It's frustrating, but I mean, on the other hand, at least we can say that we have winning programs or winning teams that, doing that, and we get spoiled, but it's like sometimes you want to go, okay, we've been there so many times, let's make that next step.
Mm-hmm. When it comes, and again, it's so early in the season, the way these teams are going to look in the playoffs is nothing like what they look like right now necessarily.
Oh,
but
exactly.
Do you did you take a lot of confidence out of that game, the Green Bay Tampa Bay game, or just another week moving on to week four here?
I think I'm taking a little bit more confidence because it seemed like the defense is coming around a little bit more. I mean, Tampa Bay, that first series, they were kind of driving down the field, and all of a sudden the defense, they held them. I mean, Krebs, they held them 6 points up until that last drive of Tampa Bay's in the game. And, and Grant, I know Tom Brady didn't have much for receiving core, but I thought the defensive backs were, especially Nixon. I mean, he made some great plays, there and filling in for Alexander and the linebacking duo there with Walker and Douglas, those they were looking better. Good to see that Rodgers was looking at the rookie a little bit more of Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted the injuries helped him a little bit more too, but yeah, I think each week it looks a little bit better, but to get those guys to adjust on the fly a little bit faster is kind of where I'm looking at.
I was looking online and I did not see any more recent updates on Jair Alexander. That is something definitely we'll be following throughout the week here to see how that develops. If that kid could just stay healthy, I mean, he's so darn good.
And I think sometimes too, though. I mean, those guys are so aggressive on what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That they put themselves in those situations where they might be injured more. And it's just like, does he down the road sit there and look at maybe I might need to dial it back a little bit more, as he gets older? You just never know. I mean,
It's interesting. And always appreciate the call, sir. I don't mean to keep you. Thank you so much for the call.
Okay.
You have a great day, man.
Have a great day, James.
You too. Yeah. Comments about conditioning there he's getting into. It's just interesting because over the weekend I was reading about Aaron Judge. And, of course, Aaron Judge is chasing the infamous 61st home run here, something that While you could say that we've seen this in our lifetimes, I think for a lot of people, there's a big difference of getting to see it this time, because for many of us, it's the legitimate 60, 61 home runs. And unless you were around when Roger Maris got to do that, you haven't seen somebody do this before, let alone he's going for the Triple Crown. So it's pretty interesting, kind of fascinating. But Aaron Judge has always been a bit banged up. He kind of was known as that, and as part of the reason actually New York didn't want to give him a long-term contract. I was reading about him this weekend where he really changed his approach, like not just his batting stance, I mean like literally his whole approach to baseball. He was always the guy, if he went 0-for-3, literally the end of the game, he's in the batter's box. He's warming up. He's working on his swing. An hour before hitting the field, he's in the batter's box working on his swing, hitting the ball multiple times, just over and over and all this. And finally got to a point where a former player told him, you're worn out before you're even hitting the diamond. And so he never does this now. Very rarely does he do warm-up hits in pitching and just kind of conditioned his body differently. Now when he's done after a game, he's soaking in the tub. He's doing these things. And you look at what he's doing now. I mean, you've got to be able to invest. So many of these athletes realize right away, okay, this is the moneymaker. This is where I'm going to be able to make a living. And not only that, I'm going to make generational wealth for me and my family. This is a new day. We're moving on up. It is a new day. So what am I going to do to make sure that this stays? I'm going to take care of the moneymaker. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to get myself a trainer. I'm going to condition. These athletes nowadays, I mean, if not... My friends always talk about the differences of if you put this guy in that era and could they make it or that or anything. And for me, so much of that question comes down to the difference of the athletes of the 50s, 60s to the athletes of, even the 70s, 80s, 90s and today. Where back in the day, most quote unquote professional athletes had to have a day job, had to have something to do during the off season. And even if they didn't, even if you got to a point where you were making a decent paycheck from that, well, your off season was your vacation time. You were out with your family. You're in Cabo. You're out having a good time and all these things. You're not in the gym. You're not training. What are you talking about? It's the off season. This is my off day. I'm not going to go work in the gym. But now it is almost unheard of to have an athlete who doesn't do that in the off season. Look at Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis learned from Hakeem and learned from other NBA players like Michael Jordan and that. Okay, I'm darn good. I am very, very good at what I do. I'm a borderline MVP. I could sit on this, or I could take the offseason, get in the gym, work on my short game, work on my defense. Giannis becomes an MVP. Bucks win the title. These are not coincidences. This is what you do if you really want to take the game seriously and make a good living at it. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Yeah, I just want to say a little bit about the Cincinnati Brewers game yesterday, I guess it was. One of their players has really long hair, like 10 inches or 12 inches long. He got hit in the hair, and he was awarded first base. Oh. That I think, was totally bogus.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, that means... All the players should just go ahead and get 12-inch extensions on their hair.
Yeah, just grow your hair out, everybody. Yeah.
30 walks in the game, yeah. I was already hit by, not 30, but at least 5 more hit by pitches, So,
mm-hmm.
I think that was totally bogus.
That's a cheap, that's a cheap call.
Flowing in the wind a little bit.
Mm.
It didn't hit him at all, but it didn't hit his part of his hair. You could see that, I guess. But they wore it in first base after that, so...
Yeah,
I don't think that.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I get it, and I'm a person who has long hair, and even I agree. I don't think that should be. It shouldn't. I think the same thing about the uniform, though. Like I've seen guys be awarded a base because it hit their jersey or something, and I don't unless it hits flesh and bone. Stay in the batter's box.
Lift up your shirt. Get a bruise. Get back to bat.
Get in that batter's box and do your thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What? Anything else? Any other feedback from the game? I didn't get to see it, so.
I was disappointed they lost yesterday, but we got 9 games to make up a game and a half on Philadelphia. So I hope we can do that. Yeah. So I'm still not counting them out.
Me neither. And I know that we would love them to have like a 10-game lead here in the standings and everything. Right. But it is part of what we love about baseball, this excitement that right down to the last game of the season, the last week of the season, we're still in, you know, have a chance.
Yeah, Philly's got some tough games coming up, I think, against the Braves or something.
Yeah, yeah. They got a really tough. I think they have the toughest schedule of any playoff potential. Brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing. A big shout out to them. Good morning to all of our friends over there. Good morning to all of you. This is your show, everybody. Call up and join the conversation. 424-2600. We want to hear from you. Bring us your sports thoughts and feelings. I know you got them. Bring them to us. Just a quick side note, real quick. While it won't be here on Playmakers, we do have a sports legend joining us this Wednesday on the morning show around the 9:05 mark. Voice of your Wisconsin Badgers, Matt LePay, going to be with us.
Yay!
I really enjoy talking to Matt. For those out there that haven't gotten a chance to maybe talk to Matt off air before or anything, same guy. Same exact human being, on air, off air. Just a wonderful gentleman, wonderful person to talk to, and really, really knows his stuff. We're going to talk Badgers. We're going to talk about Wisconsin sports and catch up with Matt and see how he's been. It's been a couple of years since we've gotten a chance to talk to him on this station, so cannot wait for that again this Wednesday on the morning show. Be sure to join me as I welcome in Matt LePay, voice of your Wisconsin Badgers, in the 9 o'clock hour. So jacked about that. Want to take a shift to our high school action here and taking a look at some high school football over the weekend, going back to Friday, where the Nakusa Papermakers dominated in all assets of the game. Offense, defense, special teams, coaching. I'm pretty sure the water boy was more on point than Spencer Columbus's was. Just a great game by Nakusa. Nicely done. Nakusa 36, Spencer Columbus 0. Looking at some other games, Colby beat Pittsville 21-0. Colby, we'll talk more about them in just a little bit. And, of course, on Saturday, the Assumption Royals kept rolling, beating Pacelli 41-6. Big game there. Looking at some other games, Marshfield is in first in the Valley football standings, and in part because of a Jeff Marsh. I mean, if you haven't seen this young man yet... Dear God, kid is impressive. Like, that is an impressive team that they've got there in Marshfield. And again, more on that in a little bit. Athens beat, I saw this one too, and I know that we're not necessarily in the listenership of these teams, but Athens and Alma Central Lincoln. Athens 74, Alma Central Lincoln 36. That's not a basketball score. They're not playing basketball in high school right now, everybody. That's a football score. 74 points. I don't know if I've seen that before. I'm sure I have, but I can't remember ever seeing a football team on any level, high school, Pop Warner, college, pros. I'm sure in college maybe I've seen some 60 games, you know, before, but wow, that is a big one. The Marawood Conference, looking at that, Lakeland beating Anago 20-0. Lakeland, by the way, has one of the coolest symbols and uniforms I've ever seen. They also have this fullback, Jake. I think it's either Mason Gray or Jake Mason Gray. I didn't catch. He's 6'7". Kid 6'7", playing fullback. It's huge. Like every once in a while, you see a high school athlete that's just, you know, grown a little faster than the rest of the kids, so he kind of dwarfs everybody else. There's a great picture of Andy Reid as a teenager, among all these other littler kids. Andy Reid has always been a big guy. But this kid, I mean, just it's more of a height situation where when he's taking the ball and the snap, he's bent down a bit. But then when he stands up to run upright, you're like, whoa, it's an impressive kid. Homecoming, the Raiders got into enemy territory at Stenham Stadium. To go 3-1 over the weekend. DC Everest was doing... this happened to DC Everest on their homecoming night as well. The Red Raiders won 28-21 over DC Everest. And Marshfield won 53-14 over Appleton West. And this is huge because both these teams are going to meet up for the WVC lead this Friday. All glued to that game. I'm going to be so glued to that game to see how this goes. Marshfield are world beaters right now. They are dominating. Lincoln playing pretty darn good themselves. Got 3-1 on the season. That defense, I mean, I like the running game. I like some of the things that they got going on offense this year, but it's all about that defense. I think the kid, young man's name is Carter Christie. He's been standing out to me. There's been a couple of players over there that have been. I mean, Coach Biola and that coaching staff, they've got these kids tuned in. They are locked and ready. I mean, whether it's the beforehand you're seeing them before the game or even after the game, it's the same, like, the adrenaline's there. But these kids are all about business and all about getting this done. And I'll admit, I'm a Lincoln alum. I'm pretty excited about this. I think it's pretty cool. See how that develops. Marshfield is undefeated right now, so that's on the line as well. Taking a look at some of the standings, it's still a little early here. I wouldn't say early, but we still got some games yet to be played here, of course. But Amherst and Stratford lead the CWC. Assumption leads the CW Small. Medford and Mosinee top the Great Northern Conference. Colby, I mentioned them earlier. Colby and Auburndale are battling for the Merriwood. And as we just touched on, Marshfield kind of in the lead right now, but that could change possibly with the Lincoln victory this Friday, and who knows? We'll find out. A lot of great high school football action going on. And just a lot of great high school sports going on. Taking a look at boys varsity soccer, Nakusa fell to Northern Lutheran this past Saturday, 1-0. In girls varsity volleyball, John Edwards Blackhawks beat the Wild Rose Wildcats 3-0. Shout out to them. Looking at your upcoming games this Friday, Assumption taking on Loyal Greyhounds at Assumption. Lincoln has to travel to Marshfield for that game. Both those at 7. Nakusa going up to Amherst to take on the Falcons at 7 o'clock this Friday. Again, just all great games right there. Going to be a very interesting season to see how this all develops. Want to send a shout out to the Wisconsin Rapid City Times, doing a great job with the scores. Thank you for that. I got a bunch of them here myself over the weekend, but I'll be honest with you guys. Sometimes I'm writing these things down at like 1 a.m. and I want them back up. Like, did I get that right? I can go to the Wisconsin Rapid City Times. They always got my back and do a great job of getting that stuff on there. You can find out more by going to wrcitytimes.com. 424-2600, that's the number to call up and join the conversation. We've got a loose sports schedule put together so far this season, or for this week, I mean. This Thursday, as every Thursday, you can catch it, the Paul Chris Show. Join us as your Wisconsin Badgers head football coach joins us on these airwaves all football season long on Thursdays, 6:05. More on the schedule in a moment. Let's take a phone call. Good morning, you're on the show.
Good morning, James. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. How have you been?
Not too bad. Looks like the NFC North is doing pretty good as far as league-wide standings are going.
Hey, we're not the joke anymore. The NFC North is no longer a joke. All four teams are competitive. I may say that loosely, yeah. But still they're competitive. We're not the NFC East. At least we're not that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I got a question for you, though. You were talking about they're changing the Pro Bowl week. Do you know, are they still going to be selecting Pro Bowl players, though?
Yeah, that's so looking at just, and this broke right as we're on the air here, so I wasn't able to read too in-depth of it, but it does look like that part is going to stay the same.
Okay.
I'm not 100% right on that, and I'm not sure how that's going to work out with as far as if, you know, they're not playing a regular game, then, well, what does a guard do? You know, is he just get a trip to Hawaii, or does he, you know, is he going to be in the skills competition? I'm not sure how that part's going to work out, but I think that the voting part, as far as fans voting for it, I think that is, as far as I can read, that looks like it's staying the same.
Okay. All right.
What do you think of this?
Go ahead.
Oh, I just wonder what you were thinking of, what you think of this change with the Pro Bowl.
Oh, I kind of like it. Nobody really watches that game anyway. I mean, I might watch 10 minutes of it, but the skills competition that I used to watch when I was a kid was always very interesting, and they can stretch that out all week and showcase different things. And a lot more advertising revenue.
Yep. Yeah, that's, I got a feeling.
That's the bottom line. That's what they're looking at.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the first thing that popped in my head with this was, well, that's a made-for-TV, you know, event right there. Much more than sports is in general. Sports, you don't know how many commercial breaks you're going to get, how long of breaks you're going to get, that kind of thing. With something like this where they're designing it themselves, oh, yeah. They are. This is definitely a big part of the process of deciding to do this or not. If the Pro Bowl was,
one thing, I was able to.
Go ahead, bud.
No, go ahead. Well, I got to catch both games yesterday: the Vikings and Lions, and the Packers Bucks. But during the Vikings Lions game, former Packer A.J. Dillon scored and did his best ravishing Rick Rude / Shakira impersonation and got a flag for it on the same day that Rihanna was announced to be the halftime show star.
Yeah, that just doesn't make any sense, does it? That doesn't.
I don't know. It's kind of a head scratcher to me.
Yeah. It's a little weird. There's a lot of things that sports do like this where they have these gray areas that you can tell they're just kind of like pulling their hair out. Like, what do we do?
Yeah. who do your Bears have coming up this week? Do you know?
Oh, darn it. I just saw that. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. The Bears.
I know.
Are...
It's Packers and Packers and Patriots, Lions and Saints early Sunday morning.
Giants. Bears got the Giants. I believe they're in New York for that. Okay. I'm 90% sure they're playing the Giants in New York.
Okay.
Which is going to be a competitive game. I mean, maybe not on the Chicago side, but New York, that's a different team now.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Giants are going to make
NFC
the playoffs.
May
but.
Not be as bad as we think.
Yeah, I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think that the NFC in general is as bad as we think. The AFC is still. The AFC, I mean, they've got so much talent, so many good teams on that side of the ball. I mean, between Kansas City and Buffalo alone, let alone you go a little the next tier. But the NFC, I don't know. We've seen this plenty of times where a team that looks like nobody can beat them, and then they get into the Super Bowl, and it comes down to defense.
Yeah, it was nice to see a lot of close games yesterday. There wasn't a lot of blowouts. There was a lot of good old-fashioned football yesterday.
Yes. I'm a big fan of the aerial attack. I like passing. I like high scoring. But I love traditional football, the old-school football. And that was a lot of fun yesterday. Saw a lot of that.
Yeah. I really wish what you were touching on with the Badgers. I know it's always been ground and pound down in Madison, but... Now they have the opportunity with Graham Mertz. I wish that they would air it out a little bit more. But,
you know,
I guess.
I think part of this, too, is getting the right coaches to help develop these kids and make sure that they are growing every game, not just every season and then the off season and everything, but every game they're getting better. We see other coaching staffs do this where they are able to pull that off. I'm not sure if they have that in Wisconsin and the kids just aren't, it isn't showing on the field, or if they need a different coaching staff as far as that goes. I'm not saying like in the head coach position and nobody's moving that defensive coach position. Jim Leonard's got the head coaching job if he wants it. That's the only way you'd move Jim Leonard.
So it
comes down to the offensive side of the ball. And then you got to take a harder look at their offensive coordinator, their quarterback's coach, and all this, and decide. I mean, you know, how are we going to get this changed? Because college football is only going to get bigger. It's only going to get more money involved in it. And it's only going to become more and more about what have you done for me lately? Ask Nebraska fans about, you know, what have you done for me lately? Ask even Notre Dame, in those things. I mean, it's been one season removed for a Notre Dame fan, and they're already pulling their hair out and screaming, you know, the sky is falling and all this and stuff. And I mean, that's Notre Dame. That's, you know, it's a different game now. You've got to, if you're not going to approach it differently, you're going to get burned. You're going to get left behind.
Did you hear if Nebraska sold out their game? I know they had a streak going. I'm not sure if they sold out their game this past weekend.
Yeah.
They were worried they might not sell out.
I heard. I believe I heard that they didn't, but they may have. And because I didn't follow it that closely, but I do know what you're talking about. I did hear that they had that consecutive streak going with sold out games.
All right. Well, hey, man, before I let you go, that's big ups to both Assumption and Rapids for winning big games this weekend. They're both having good seasons. And Skol Vikings, everybody have a good week.
You have a good week, too. Good to hear from you, man. It's been a while. Good to talk to you. We're going to take a break in a moment. Before we do that, I just wanted to finish up our sports schedule for the week. As I mentioned, Paul Chris Show joins us on Thursdays at 6:05. This Friday on our sister station, WIRI, the game we are just talking about, Lincoln at Marshfield. This is a big one, everybody. Gene DeLisio going to be on the call for that one. Don going to run the board. You know it's going to sound good. It's going to be good to hear Gene's voice, too. I love the way Gene calls a game. And I'll be glued to that game. I got a class that day. I'll be half teacher, half Red Raider that day, because I'm going to be listening all in on that one. Should be a good one. And I guarantee you, on next Monday, Randy and I will be dissecting that game on Playmakers. This Saturday, of course, Wisconsin hosts Illinois. Should be able to get back in the win column. Does that game mean even more to you that Brett Bielema is coaching for Illinois? Do you want to beat him even more? I mean, I know you want to beat him anyway, but you want to beat him even more because of that. Interesting. That game is actually going to be an early one. It'll be at 9 a.m. Because of that, we will be moving the Sunshine Polka Show and Over the Back Fence. Those shows will be moved. More on that throughout our week here. But just keep that in mind. Their shows we'll still play them. They'll still be on Saturday, just at a different time slot. And also on Saturday, at WIRI, Wisconsin Rapids River Kings are hosting the Minnesota Moose. Game starts at 7. That's right, you heard me correctly. Wisconsin Rapids River Kings on WIRI 105.5 Wis Country. Yes! Oh, that feels so good to say. I'm so excited about this. Steph and I got to last week go interview all the River King players and stuff and talk with the coaches and go down to the rink and everything. And I don't know if she's seen like a fanboy me before. Lost almost all journalistic integrity once I got around those guys. I just wanted to talk hockey. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be such an exciting season. Got a great team, a great group of kids. Not only are they talented and they are very good at what they do, just good people, too. I mean, just, you know, getting a chance to talk to them, look them in the eye, talking to these guys. I mean, they're going to be great assets to our community. It's going to be a really fun season. Join us all season long for every home game of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings on our sister station, Wis Country 105.5 WIRI. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the great names that are going to be up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we'll get into that, and we'll get in whatever you want to. It's your call show, everybody. Call up and join the conversation on Playmakers, which is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out.
I'm Naheem Hines, running back for the Indianapolis Colts and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with highs around 58. Northwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows level off around 37. Mainly clear tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 55. Dry with temperatures below average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs from the upper 50s to the low 60s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Got a handful of minutes left of show. We'd like to fill it with your phone calls, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. I got a little bit caught up talking River Kings hockey earlier, so I just want to wrap up our sports schedule. This Sunday at 12:30, Wisconsin men's hockey hosting Lakeland. This is an exhibition game, but the way I was talking about football earlier is the way I feel about hockey. I don't care if it's an exhibition game. If it's the Badgers, I'm listening. It's my favorite college hockey team, and I cannot wait for them to kick things off. And don't sleep on the ladies either. It's not just the men. The men's, women's, I mean, both sides of the rink there, they've got a killer team, great team. Especially the women's side, man. I can't wait to see them play this year. And, of course, we'll talk about all of these games next Monday right here on Playmakers. Here for you every Monday from 10 to 11, taking your calls. Looking forward to talking with you even more. They just announced the Pro Football Hall of Fame nominees last week. Six-time All-Pro offensive lineman Joe Thomas, shutdown corner Darrell Revis, and speedy pass runner Dwight Freeney all headlined the list. The other first-year eligible players, Chris Johnson, offensive lineman Jahari Evans, linebacker Navari Bowman, James Harrison, and defensive back Cam Chancellor, and punter Shane Leckler. But let's be honest, the whole reason I'm bringing this up is Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas was one of my favorite college players, and it's so weird to say that about an offensive lineman. It's so rare. I can't even think of any, like maybe Anthony Munoz when I was a kid, but I was just a big Joe Thomas fan. I liked the way that he handled himself. I liked the way that he seemed to play the game. And man, when it comes to consistency at that position, at the offensive tackle position, the bodyguard of every quarterback, the lifeblood of your offense, truly. You can say the quarterback, you could say this position, that position. You can have Patrick Mahomes. If you ain't got a good left tackle, if you got me out there blocking for Patrick Mahomes, Mahomes ain't never making a Pro Bowl. You need Joe Thomas. You need these guys. And the thing about Joe Thomas that I really felt for, and look, he made millions and millions of dollars in his career. Nobody should feel bad for Joe Thomas. But he never made the playoffs, you know? He never got to be on a winning team and playing for Cleveland his whole career. I love that he has gotten get behind the mic. He's very good at talking on the air. I think he does a great job in the NFL Network. And him getting into the Hall of Fame, especially if he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, which I think he should be, without a question he should be. I think that, it, you know, that... Hopefully that makes up for the fact of not getting to be able to get into the playoffs. I doubt it makes up for it completely, but that yellow jacket can make you feel a little bit better. It seemed to do pretty good for some other players that never got to make the playoffs, but I think that is kind of cool. Joe Thomas up for the Football Hall of Fame, hoping he gets in on his first ballot. Definitely deserves to. Wisconsin's own right there. Brookfield? Is that where he's from? I believe he's from Brookfield. I know he's from Wisconsin. I just can't remember if it's from Brookfield or... Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's from Brookfield. I'm kind of curious about this one too, guys, because not a lot of people talking about it, but a pretty big deal if you're a baseball fan. Certainly, you got Aaron Judge chasing 61, chasing the Triple Crown, and Albert Pujols, who is in his final year. He said, no matter what, this is his last year. Albert Pujols of the St. Louis Cardinals joined a very exclusive club on Friday, becoming only the fourth player in Major League history to hit 700 home runs. He actually hit 699 earlier in the game, which he had never done that before either. I think that's pretty darn cool. That's pretty impressive. And I'm even saying that about a St. Louis Cardinal, so you know I must think it's pretty good. Pujols called 700th homer pretty special. He added, quote, "When it's really going to hit me is when I'm done. At the end of the season, when I'm retired, and probably a moment or two after that, I can look at the numbers." You know, he signed with the Cardinals as kind of a, you know, play out your last year with the team you started with kind of thing. This will be fun. This will be cool. It'll be nostalgia. It'll sell some tickets. And then the guy just kind of like did a couple, like a tweak to his batting stance, I believe it was, and started playing a little more closer to the plate. This is hearing from people that are a lot smarter than I am about baseball, but just did a couple of little adjustments and boom. He gets to the 700 club. How cool is that? whether anyone likes it or not, statistically and right now, if you look at the, you know, you Google online, the all-time home run leaders, Barry Bonds is at the top at 762. For many of us, the all-time home run king, Hank Aaron, at 755. He is for me. And I'm not saying that because I don't have anything against Barry Bonds necessarily. There's just too many questions there for me. And for me, I'm going to go with the guy where there are no questions, and Hank Aaron. Babe Ruth is third on the list at 714. Alex Rodriguez is behind Pujols at number five on the all-time list with 696. And that's a special list, obviously. You know, Hank Aaron, I'm not going to talk about Hank Aaron in Wisconsin to Wisconsinites. I'm not going to mansplain Hank Aaron to you guys. Feel like you know quite a bit, if not everything there is to know about him. But Hammer and Hank, one of the greatest of all time. Arguably the greatest of all time. Some people can make that argument. My dad is one of them. Him and Willie Mays, he goes back and forth about that. But the fact that Babe Ruth is still on this list is fascinating to me. I in some ways, I don't know if we really completely wrap our minds around Babe Ruth's career. It's interesting. One last thing I want to wrap up with here. I just heard this stat over the weekend and just thought it was kind of cool. And since we're just talking baseball here, Tony Gwynn was the greatest hitter I ever saw. I didn't get to see Ted Williams play. I saw George Brett. I saw some great hitters in my day and some that are currently playing right now. But if you pressed me on it, Who I think the greatest hitter I've ever seen was, first name that popped in my head is Tony Gwynn. And, you know, Tony, there was some talk about Tony Gwynn's career over the weekend, and I came across this stat and just thought it was fascinating. Tony Gwynn had more games with four hits than he did with multiple strikeouts. Yeah, yeah. Tony Gwynn had 45 four-hit games in his career, 45 of them. He only had 34 games where he struck out more than once. Just incredible. You know what Tony Gwynn would do if you tried to, you know, put the shift on him? He'd hit it the other direction because he was a professional hitter. It's what they did back then. What the what? What is going on with that hitters? Shouldn't have even had to worry about this whole changing of the rules and everything. You see everybody lining up on the right side, hit it to left field. That's what Tony would have done. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, everybody. Really fun show today. We're looking forward to having another one next week. Be sure to join us for that. A big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. And big shout out to all of you. Thank you for all the calls, all the feedback today. Keep them coming, everybody, and stick around for more right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.